A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 24, 1988, in the series The Lord's Servant Community, entitled Our Power. The scripture readings are Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21, and Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 23. The texts for the sermon are Isaiah 43, verse 19, and Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
It's human to dream. It seems that to be human is inevitably to dream dreams. To imagine not what has been, nor what is, but what might be. To dream is to be human. To be human is to dream. And yet to dream takes courage. It takes daring to dream. And most of us reveal our dreams only with great hesitancy. For when we reveal our dreams, we reveal our deepest self, the deep yearnings of our hearts. There are dreams we dream which we never dare share. For to share a dream is to put one's life out on a limb. It is to become the possible object of ridicule and scorn. And to dare to dream and tell the dream is to be disappointed in the presence of others. History is strewn with broken dreams. Dreams, images, longings, which have never materialized. And oftentimes, the consequence of broken dreams is a kind of cynicism, a hardness and a bitterness of spirit, which is really nothing more than our defense against the hurt and the pain of the shattered dream. And yet, dream we do, and dream we must. And the world needs dreamers. God is a dreamer. God is the greatest dreamer of all. And God had a dream. In the depths of eternity, God dreamed of bringing to being that which was not God's self. God dreamed of bringing into being a whole cosmos, a whole creation, a human family created in his likeness and his image. He dreamed of bringing it all into being in order that he might share of the fullness of his love. Creation is nothing more than the dream of God, the great lover, the God who would give of himself and share himself, live in the reciprocity of love and communion with that which he brought into being. But dreaming is risky for God too. For even God could not coerce love or force fellowship. And yet he took the risk, and in love he created. In the depths of eternity he dreamed. And at the beginning of time, he called into being all that is. And with the risk that he took, the freedom that he granted, in order that love might be not only received, but reciprocated, God's heart was broken, and it seemed that the dream would be lost. But the whole biblical story is really nothing more than the story of God, the dreamer, the lover, who refuses to give up the dream, who refuses to let it go, and who has continued to pursue his creation and the human family with a love and a grace that we would eventuate finally in the realization of the dream with which he created in the first place. The whole biblical story is the story of God the dreamer who refused to give up on his dream and who will, by his mighty power, finally bring to fruition the dream of his godly heart. He caused the dream to be born in one here and there. He caused the dream to be born in the heart of a man named Abraham, an old fellow by now, who caught a dream, who saw a vision, who dreamed a dream of a new land and of a family of children as many as the stars of the heaven, who dreamed that through him God might bring blessing to all the families on earth. And the old man left his home and his family and his friends, and he took off for a place he knew not where, in order to live by the dream, in order to be faithful to the vision that found lodgment in his heart. Silly old man, believing that his children might be as many as the stars of the heaven, his wife being as barren as the desert about him. But the dream came true. Isaac, the child of a dream. And Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And the 12 sons became a mighty multitude. And they found themselves almost beyond the dream, suffering, oppressed, in bondage, until God put it in the heart of another, a dream of a people set free, a dream of a people in their own land, a dream of a people as a nation in a land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses confronted the mighty monarch of the earth, the mighty Pharaoh, the head of the greatest culture and civilization of the day, and he said, in the name of God, the great dreamer, let my people go. And they went, and they worshiped God, and the dream began once again to take root in their hearts. They entered the land, they became a nation, and as is the wont of humankind, they settled for business as usual. They forgot to dream not of what was, but what of might be. They forgot to dream the dream that God had put in their hearts. They settled for being like the people around them, for business as usual. And one day, they found themselves no longer a nation. There was no heir to their throne. Their temple was in ruins. Their walls were leveled. And they, a captive people, the pawn of the mighty Babylonian Empire, where they failed to dream the dream, where faith faltered and almost went out, Except for a prophet whose name we do not know, but whose writings we have in Isaiah chapters 40 to 55. A prophet who shared the despair of his people. A prophet who was not dreaming dreams, but heard a voice. A voice that said, comfort ye, my people. A voice that said, cry. And the prophet said, cry or preach. What should I preach? The people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. And the voice said, yes, the people is grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Get you up into a high mountain. Say to the cities of Jerusalem, of Judah, behold your God. And the dream began to burn brightly again in the heart and the mind of the prophet. And as the spokesman for God, he began to speak of salvation and amazing deliverance in the midst of that downcast people in exile. He began to speak of the God who makes a way in the wilderness, of a God who creates rivers in the deserts, who would bring his people home to freedom and to salvation. And they went home, but they weren't much. They were poor. They were powerless, still a pawn in the chess game of the great empires and the mighty of earth. And yet there were always those who refused to give up the dream. There were always a few who waited upon the Lord, who cried out, how long, O Lord, how long? Until one day, the dream was born in the womb of a peasant girl. And a child was born, and his name was Jesus. And he nurtured his soul in the vision of the prophet Isaiah. And he believed that in him the kingdom of God was dawning. And he had the audacity to go everywhere in the countryside and in the villages and to say, repent, change your mind. Change your thinking, change your behavior, for God is in the midst of you, and his kingdom is surely coming. That kind of a message and that kind of a dreamer, of course, is threatening to the established order of things, the established order of church and state, the comfort of old ways and tried traditions, all of the institutions of society that try to keep the dreamers at arm's length. And they killed the dreamer, thinking thereby to stamp out the dream. But God raised him up. God raised him up. The God who calls the dead to life raised Jesus from the dead. And from that first Easter, there went out through that ancient world the good news that God is stronger than death. And a whole new community was being formed throughout the ancient world. Some of them in a city of Ephesus received a letter one day from another dreamer. In the wake of Jesus, the greatest dreamer the world has ever known, Paul, thrown to the ground by the brilliance of the vision, captivated by the dream, believing in the kingdom of God, and writing to people at Ephesus, saying to them, I want to celebrate with you who you are. Loved from eternity. Loved before the foundation of the world. Graced in Jesus Christ. Called to live to the praise of God's glory. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters in Ephesus, I pray for you. I pray that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the inward eyes of your heart may be illumined, that you may know what is the hope to which God calls you, that you may know the richness of your heritage with God's people, and that you might know the immeasurable greatness of the power at work in you. Power measured by the greatness of the energy of God that raised Jesus from the dead. I pray, brothers and sisters in Ephesus, that you'll come inwardly to perceive and in the depths of your being comprehend who you are and the power of God that is working through you in order to complete the dream and to bring it to fruition. The God who loved you in eternity past, the God who has revealed himself to you in the midst of your history in the face of Jesus Christ, the God who has given to you the Spirit as the down payment and the assurance of a redemption yet awaited, I pray that you'll know who you are and the power available to you and working through you for the effecting of the kingdom of God, that you will understand that you're just a group of dreamers living between the resurrection and the final consummation of all things, that you will understand that God raised Jesus from the dead and caused him to sit at his right hand, and that Jesus now is reigning, ruling, and that God is putting down under his feet all dominions and powers, principalities, and every name that can name, whatever spiritual power there is, whatever structure of history, of society, or of nature, whatever there is that is an obstacle to the dream is being subjugated by the mighty power of God until that day when all of Jesus' enemies will be made his footstool, when Jesus will render up the kingdom to God and God will be everything to everyone. Jesus, who fills the whole church, which is his body, and the whole universe, I want you to know that you are a part of the dream of God. And he's not only a great lover, he has the power to make the dream come true. Ah, you say, yes, Paul, dreamer. Dreaming is risky business, and we try it a bit, and we get burned, and we develop calluses on our hearts, and use cynicism as self-defense against the pain of having to admit that the dream has died within. And when the dream dies, we're no longer fully human and fully alive. But we put down dreamers. We say it with such derision. Dreamer. Dreamer. Because we cut down our dreams to size, to manageable size, to that which is possible, to that which is reasonable, to that which is humanly manageable, to that which we can control. And we project into the future only the disaster of the past. We dream not what might be, but what has been and is now. And we live at a dull, deadly, dying rate. It's been 2,000 years, Paul. The world still is rocked with war, terrorism, oppression, racism, poverty, ghettos, disease, hell on earth. Where's the power? Where's God? C.S. Lewis says, to say that Jesus arose 2,000 years ago. And the timetable of God is like saying, I saw a crocus yesterday. A little crocus bursts through the half-frozen soil, and it doesn't make a springtime, but it promises that it is coming, surely coming. The battle isn't over. Paul would say principalities and powers and dominions and thrones and authorities and every name that is named, whatever structures in history or nature, whatever spiritual and invisible powers there are in this whole cosmos, arraigned against God and His kingdom, are still very much alive, but we've turned the corner. God raised Jesus from the dead. God has demonstrated in the arena of our history that life is stronger than death, and love is stronger than hate, and grace conquers all. And Paul dreamed a dream. And there have been a people down through 2,000 years who have continued to dream the dream. And it's the dreamers who've made the difference. It's the dreamers who have entered into heavenly places in Christ Jesus and begun already in this historical experience to taste something, a foretaste only, but something of the kingdom of God, of light and of joy and of peace here and now, and have changed the landscape of the earth. Dreamers. Dreamers. Who lived by a vision. And they've inspired the best in the rest of us. Martin Luther King had a dream. I have a dream. He dreamed of a world where he said, my four little children might grow up to be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the quality of their life. A dream. A dream such as the prophet had, of a world in which spears and swords would be turned into pruning hooks and plows, in which the lion and the lamb would lie down together, in which the child could play over the hole of the cobra, where they would not hurt or destroy and all my holy mountain. And the realist and the pragmatist, the one with worldly wisdom that knows how to get through life, would say, dreamer! But God is the dreamer. And Paul says, oh, that God would give you eyes in your heart to begin to comprehend the energy of God that is at work in you and through you. We're simply that people who, in the wake of Easter, are people who believe that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Do you dream? Do you have a dream? Do you live by a dream? The options are not so many. Without the dream, then it's just facing the darkness blowing on the embers before they fade, giving what light and warmth there may be. But if history is an accident, if it is simply a meaningless movement of erratic events without pattern or purpose, if there is no one beyond us, who from eternity loved us and in eternity will bring us home. Then life is a dismal business indeed. Paul was a dreamer. Jesus was a dreamer. Isaiah was a dreamer. Moses was a dreamer. Abraham was a dreamer. All God's people are dreamers, living not in terms of what is or what has been, but living in the light of what surely will be. Because God is God. And God raised Jesus from the dead. And that same power is ours now and forever. One day, good friends, we'll join with all the angels and all God's children. And in the brightness of His eternal presence, there'll be one grand hallelujah. The Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and who keeps the dream alive. I'm a dreamer. Come dream with me.